not till then how much we will owe. And that the words of those, that hymn was a special one. And I think it's a searching one to our hearts as we consider this life and how quickly the years are passing by. As we get older, the time seems to race much quicker. When you're young, and we have some boys and girls here today in the service, you think that summer is never going to come and school is never going to be over. And it just drags on and drags on sometimes. Well, when you get to be a bit older, you're wanting to put the brakes on and see time slow down a bit. And, you know, soon enough we will be in the presence of the Lord. Soon enough we will lay our heads down upon the pillow of death, and we will be buried under the ground. Yet our spirit will be released, and our time of service for Christ is now, and our time of living for Him is now. And therefore, let us press on in service to the Master. It's a joy for me to be here with you. I thank God for the privilege and His providence that has made this opportunity possible. And I appreciate the very kind words of Reverend Cranston, and appreciate, brother, so much your heart and your ministry. And we are always refreshed and drawn to the Lord by our brother's faithful preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please pray for all our churches. I think it's good when we come back from presbytery meetings and times of prayer. We are refreshed in our own spirits very often, and it certainly is good to be reminded about the fellow churches that we have, our sister congregations. And it's a special time to be refreshed in our own hearts, to remember them in prayer. And so I want to encourage you to do that today. And I thank you for your prayers. As the Lord brings our own ministry in Toronto to your heart, and I would thank you for praying for us. And please do not cease praying. The devil is very active in our day, and he is very aggressive. His time is short, and therefore he must be active and busy to do as much damage as he can. And the intention of Satan is to overthrow the people of God. And sometimes we think of the work of Satan in the great movements against the church in history, great times of persecution, great times when it seems the church of God has been hindered. But you know, the greatest work the devil does is every single day in our lives. The greatest attack that he has against the single Christian, the lonely Christian, taking your stand, doing what you need to do from day to day. And if the devil can discourage you or get into your heart and your mind and your thoughts, well, it will set you back, as he does. And if we're under the gloom of the attack of the devil and not looking unto Christ, then we are going to be disabled, in a sense, from living for him and serving him. So may God give us that grace daily to look to him and to live for him. I have two portions of scripture today I want to read from. First of all, from Daniel chapter 9, and then we'll be turning to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. So if you can navigate your way through the Old Testament and find, first of all, Daniel chapter 9, and then back a few years, we could say, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. So first of all, Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to read the first 8 verses here. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fastings and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. And then please turn over to Jeremiah 29. Reading from verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn again your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into this place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. May the Lord bless his reading to our hearts this morning. And please, let's bow before him now in prayer. Father, we have thy holy word open before us now. And dear Lord, as we are in thy presence, we come now to pray that the Holy Spirit will help us. I ask, Lord, that we would know the cleansing of the precious blood of our Redeemer to cleanse away every sin from our hearts, that, Lord, our minds would be pure, our motives would be right, and that, O God, we would know a close walk with thee moment by moment. I pray, dear Father, that in this service today here, and by thy providence, Lord, you have made this possible this very morning. And I pray, dear Father, that it might please thee to come and draw very, very near to every soul. Lord, I do not know the needs of the hearts of these dear folks here today specifically. And yet, O God, I know this, we need thee to come in power and to reveal thy mind to us. We need, dear Father, to be drawn closer to the Savior. We need, O Lord, to see our lack, our great need. We need, O Lord, to see how much work there is yet to be done and how we are to conduct ourselves in the way of righteousness and truth. And dear Father, I pray that today it might please thee to come and give me the power that is necessary, that, Lord, that is absolutely necessary to preach the word of Christ faithfully. For, Lord, I have no power and no might of myself. And I know that any dependence upon the arm of flesh has so disappointed in time past, and it will again. So, Lord, I pray today for that anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak the word of Christ faithfully, plainly, clearly. Lord, so that no one misunderstands the word. And I pray, Lord, that that grace, not only of speaking the word, but the grace would be given to these dear people to hear the word, from the very youngest one to the oldest one here. Dear Lord, we stand today in great need. We have just come from a season of prayer with all of our brothers, ministers and elders across North America. And Lord, we come once more to cry unto thee for a gracious outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us. We come, Lord, and stand before thee because the hour is late, it seems, and the days are desperate, and we have great need. And, O Lord, we pray that it might please thee to come and to pour out such a mighty moving of thy Spirit, so that, Lord, we would be more conformed to the blessed Savior. And then, Lord, we would be less like ourselves. Deliver us, I pray, from the power of the flesh. Deliver me, O God, I pray, from being like the old man. Give me, I pray, a double portion of the Holy Spirit, so that I might walk in holiness and purity before thee. And, O God, I pray that every one of our congregations would be able to sense and know the nearness of the Holy Ghost. And I pray, Father, that as each brother has gone back to their pulpits for this morning, that it might please thee to draw very, very near. Lord, help us. What can we do, Lord? Left to ourselves, we will destroy all that has been done for good. And Lord, I pray that it might please thee to bless the ministry and witness of our churches and this congregation here in Port Hope. I'm thankful for my brother Cranston, and I pray, dear Father, that it might please thee to continue to use his ministry and to bless him and pour out thy Spirit upon him and his family. And dear God, answer the cries, the yearnings, the longings of his heart. And I pray that this congregation would know and realize what blessings that they have received from the word of truth. Dear God, save precious souls, we ask. Restore those who are backslidden, Lord, that have grown cold in heart. And to some degree, Lord, we all fit into that category. Our hearts are so often hard, cold. So therefore, Lord, we pray that we would be as clay in the hands of our potter. And we'd be molded, Lord, in the way that you want to make use of us and use us for the extension of your kingdom. Lord, bless us this morning, we pray. We know, Lord, that there are undoubtedly heavy hearts here this morning, and some are troubled with deep heart concerns that they cannot even share with another. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will come to minister and answer those prayers and longings of the heart. Teach us what it means to commit our way unto thee and to trust also in thee, our God. And I pray, Lord, for the needs we have in our land. Our country, Lord, has turned so far away from thee, founded upon biblical principles and the word of God, yet has departed so far away. O Lord, help us. We have a government that denies and mocks the things of God. And we pray, Lord, that you would deal with our leaders. And, oh God, work in their souls to either save them or remove them from power. Or at least, oh Lord, restrain them from evil and from wickedness in our time. Have mercy upon all our churches. We have been thinking this past week about our congregations without under shepherds. We pray for Fredericton again this morning. We think of Prince George. We ask of thee, O Lord, for our church in Malvern, Pennsylvania. Lord, answer prayer and bring the right men to these posts for the honor of thy name. Lord, we desire to be faithful unto thee in our time. Help us in our generation, for we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. We believe in thy sovereign purposes in our lives. And therefore, Lord, hear and answer our prayers. And bless us. Give us insight into the word, we pray. And help us to walk in a manner that is pleasing unto thee. So, Lord, hear our prayer this morning. Bless all the children in the congregation. We're thankful for each one of them. We pray that they will learn the things of Christ from a young age, and they will be like Timothy, having known the Holy Scriptures from a child. Bless each one of them. Save them early, and Lord, use them for the extension of thy kingdom. Bless all of our children's ministries. It grieves us, Lord, to see so many of our young people that have left our churches, that have been seeking for greener pastures, it seems. But, O Lord, I pray that you would put a draw into the hearts of our youth and that they would be delivered from the attractiveness of the world. And, O God, that there would be a burning desire to seek the Lord, and there would be a great moving among our young people. I think about our camp coming up in July in Pennsylvania. And Lord, bless every one of our young people who will be attending. And may it be a time of great spiritual development and advancement in hearts. So Lord, hear our prayers today. We just bear our souls before thee and pray that thy perfect will be done in our lives and through us. So hear our prayers now, Lord, and bless us for this time. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share with you this morning some thoughts from Jeremiah 29 primarily, and it has to do with this subject, that the Lord wants us to seek him. The Lord wants us to seek after him. Now, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, had one of the most difficult callings that I think any man of God called by the Lord has ever experienced in life. Jeremiah was a prophet, and he had to minister during a time when the people generally had no interest in hearing the truth. He had to deliver a message from God that was most unpopular. People did not want to hear it. And on top of all that, after he had come faithfully to preach the word and he had given the message that God had given him to preach, there were virtually no results from the life ministry of this faithful man of God. And that's not very encouraging for prospective pastors. It's not very encouraging for pastors who have been on the road for some time either. And yet, in God's perfect providence, he makes no mistakes. And when he raises up a man, a servant, he does so with the intention of making that man to fulfill his will in his time and ultimately for the glory of his own name, of the name of the Lord. And if a brother, if a preacher, if a man called of God is able to survive under that mandate given from the Lord, as Jeremiah had, it's not to say there will not be times and days of discouragement, for there most certainly will be. And Jeremiah is evident of that when you read through his book. You will find that he was despairing to the point of saying, I'm not going to preach again for in the name of the Lord. I'm not going to give his word out again. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm done. And yet the Lord's Spirit would not allow his servant to stay there. And he said, yet again, the word of God was in my heart as a burning, fiery fire, and I couldn't contain. I had to preach the word. And that's as Jeremiah went on. He went, it seemed, onto the mountaintop of blessing and then down into the valley of discouragement. And it seems that there were more time spent in the valley, at least in the dark time. But he was a faithful man. And he was faithful to God through thick and thin. And he was faithful to God when the clouds were over top of him. And he preached faithfully the word. Now we have read in two places today. And in Daniel's prophecy was interesting because Daniel spoke and prophesied and found of the words that Jeremiah had been given by the Lord and the preaching of the 70 years of captivity. Because of Judah's sin and their rejection of the prophets of God and of the faithful messages of the Lord was going to say to them, they're going into captivity. And so this chapter 29 of Jeremiah is actually dealing with the message that God gave to Jeremiah to those who were in Judah still. He's saying to them, go into Babylon peacefully. Go in under the jurisdiction of the king that's going to take you away and build yourself their houses and plant vineyards and pray for the peace of the city that you're going into. Because the Lord says, by your praying for the peace of the city in that place, you will prosper and be there. Well, of course, the people, when they heard that message, many of them, they rejected it. They said, this cannot be the Lord's will. It cannot be right. We're not going to surrender and give in to the enemy. See, the Lord's purposes and his ways are so often very different from our thoughts and our ways. And as Jeremiah preached this word to these people, and as Daniel in his prophecy was coming to the end of that 70-year period, and we see there just how he responded to the words and the prophecies that were given to him and to the people of God. In the middle of this word that he had given to Jeremiah, there is a most tender and compelling, there is a drawing word that God speaks to his people and to Jeremiah in the time when he is giving the hardest message that he had to bring. And this message is about God's desire that you and I, that his people, will seek him. And I want to focus on verse 12 primarily, but using the context around verse 12 of Jeremiah 29. For our message this morning, it says these words, Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. This is the word directly from the lips of the living God. And the first thing I want to share with you this morning from this is this thought, that right theology will lead us to right praying. Right theology, a right understanding of the Word of God, will lead us into the right state of praying. How do I say, why do I say that from this verse 12? It's taken from the very opening word of verse 12, the word then. Remember, this is God speaking to his people. And the living God is saying to you, then shall ye call upon me. But the operative word here is then. And what is it referring to? It's referring to the previous verse where God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then. And my dear friends, right theology, right thinking about God, about his word, and about his commandments to us will lead us into the right spirit and attitude of praying. The Lord, the living God, is telling us something vital here about what he thinks about his people. God is saying, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Now let me ask you, how many times is it you feel in your heart that God is angry with you because, well, we have not lived up to what we feel are the expectations of the Lord's word? We look inside our hearts and we feel we have disappointed the Lord. We have failed him. And indeed, those are true things. But we think because we have disappointed the Lord because of our own weakness and our failures that we're completely a disaster and the Lord has turned away from us. He doesn't want us to come near him. He wants us to stay out, away from him. But that's exactly the opposite. That's not the way the Lord thinks about you today if you are his child. He is thinking this, my dear brother and sister. He is thinking, I want you to understand. I want you to know my word properly, because if you have a right understanding of how I think about you, of my word toward you, then you are going to know. I have peaceful thoughts toward you, and that you indeed have peace with me. And we are told in the New Testament in Romans 5 and 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans 8 and 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord today, the great joy of knowing in our hearts is that God's thoughts toward us are peaceful thoughts because we have peace with him. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross, he has shed his own precious blood, and because that blood has been shed for us and that atonement has been made, you and I are able to draw into his holy presence. We are able to come before the living God. And as we stand before him, his words, his mind, his thought toward you and me, my child, I have loving, peaceful thoughts toward you. And the more that you and I will dwell upon the doctrine, the teaching, the unfolding of his holy word, of truly what the Lord thinks about us and what he wants for us, it will enable and mobilize us in our communion, our intercession, our prayers with the Lord himself. Instead of us feeling we have to stay away from There is nothing that will keep us away from him. We will be drawn into his presence. We will say, Lord, I want to commune with you because I have the right to commune with you. And that type of boldness can only be gathered and ascertained by a true understanding of the Scripture and of the working of the Holy Spirit within the heart of the child of God. When I know what God thinks about me, when I know that the Lord only has thoughts of peace toward me and not of evil, that he will give me an expected end. And the Hebrew there means to have an end and a future and a hope. So when the Lord says he will give us an expected end, he will give us a future, he will give us a hope. And what do we have in Christ today? But a glorious anticipation of heaven. A glorious hope of eternity with the Lord. And it's based upon the work that my Savior has done on my account. The more that I know of the thoughts of God toward me, the more I will have freedom and joy, and the more I'll understand my welcome into his holy presence. My dear friend, do you possess and have that assurance and hope today? Do you know the Lord this morning? Do you love him as your own Savior? Or maybe, friend, there is something that is keeping you away from God. Maybe you professed faith in the Lord some time ago, but things may not have been going just in the way that you think they should go. And there's a distance between you and the Lord this morning. My dear friend, let not that distance continue. Don't go through your life wondering or imagining that God is angry with you. He is not happy with you. Because if you are close with him, if you understand his holy word, you will know the Lord wants you to be near to him. His desire for his own people is that we will walk with him. We will have fellowship with him. Do you know that the Lord cannot do you any harm if you are his child? It doesn't mean the Lord will not discipline his children. And we know that no chastening for the present is joyous but grievous. I don't know how many children have received some discipline from their parents, and they come back and say, well, that felt really good. Could you give me another portion of that? How many times did a child receive a spanking, maybe, and they have to come back and say, I would like a second spanking, if you don't mind? I don't think that too many kids here would be saying that. We would say, no, thank you, one is more than enough. Because no spanking, no chastening seems to be joyous, but it seems to be unpleasant. But the Lord who loves us is the Lord who will lead us by chastening at times. But don't ever misinterpret, my friend, the chastening hand of God as a hand of anger or a hand of punishment against us, because he who loves us with an everlasting love can do us no harm. He loves you this morning. He loves me today. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And the Bible here is telling us, for I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. My dear friend, the more you know the Lord, the more you have a good basis in biblical theology of who God is and who you are and what the Lord thinks about you, then you will be able to be led powerfully and fervently into his presence, seeking his face, because God wants you. The living Lord wants you to call upon him. But then please notice with me here, secondly, from this portion of Scripture, is that right study of the Word promotes right prayer. A right study of the Word promotes right prayer. Sometimes people can be led off astray by a very surface study of a certain scripture or word, and that's taking the scripture out of its context. And that's how cults are formed. That's how people got off on a tangent when they take the Word of God, but they take it in its isolation, out of its context, and then they go off astray. And how many times, maybe we've all been guilty of that, taking a word and thinking this is what God is meaning here, and we might start going down a pathway that is the wrong direction. But you see, my friend, a right study of the Word will lead you into the right place of prayer. And this is where Daniel has come in, because as Daniel was nearing the end of the 70 years of captivity, and you will know from your study of the book of Daniel that he and his three friends and other Hebrew captives were taken into Babylon. And they were taken there to promote the society and civilization of Babylon. And as they were there as young people, young teenagers, yet they took their stand for Christ and their stand for God in their day. And I say that is a prayer we must redouble for our young people in our day, that there would be those desire with the heart of God and with the Spirit of the Lord in them, taking a stand for Christ in our day among our youth. And determining, I am going to serve the Lord no matter what it costs. I am going to go through with God, and I will not compromise His Word. I'll not compromise His truth no matter what comes. And we know well that Daniel and his three friends were put to the test on that one. Daniel in the lion's den and the three friends in the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar. But as Daniel was coming later on in his ministry, and he's getting now near the end of the 70 years, how did he find out about this? Because we are told in Daniel 9 that he, in the first year of the reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And so it was by the very word of God, the scriptures that Jeremiah had written, and Daniel had possession of them, read them, and he studied them, and he said, God's word is now coming to pass. And so what it did, it led Daniel to begin some serious seeking of God in prayer. He says in verse 3, And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I say to you that Daniel, confronting the Word of God by a right study and interpretation of the Scripture, it led him to pray and seek the Lord. It led him to come seriously before God. My dear friends, are you serious about prayer before the Lord? Has a right study of the Scripture drawn you to the Lord? Sometimes I think we all have a rather too light view of the God with whom we are dealing with. And among Christianity today, and we don't have to go even outside of our own congregations, for there is enough for us to see within our own fellowships, maybe prayer is not the central place in your life that it should be. My dear friend, I am talking to myself when I say, is prayer in the right place in my heart that it should be? You see, the more we draw close to the Lord in His Word, because the reading of the Scripture and communion and prayer with God, they go hand in hand. They are so intricately linked together that you can't be faithful in one without the other. And you've heard it said before, I am sure, that every backslider begins to go away from God when the Word of the Lord and prayer is neglected. Has that not been true in your own life? I know it's true in mine. And really, the degrees or the elements of backsliding can be traced to how close that we have been with the Lord in the past week, and how quickly the icy coldness of the world and of the issues of life and of just neglecting the scripture, it can take hold of us, and we become like those in a freezer, and we are cold. But as we come near to the Lord and allow His word to speak to our hearts and to mold our thinking and to alter the way we live, then we are going to be drawn into His presence to commune with Him, because I say to you that right study of the scripture will lead you into communion and prayer with the Lord. And that's exactly what He wants for us in our life. God wants us to draw near to Him. Ah, my dear brothers and sisters, this is a word that we need to have emphasized to our hearts again and again. Because if we neglect His word, if we neglect seeking for the glory of Christ to be revealed to us through the scripture, then we're going to be less than strong for Him in our time. We're not going to be the witness that we need to be for Him. And so, in Daniel's case, he began to seek the Lord. And did you notice something about that? Daniel began to confess the sins, his sins. And I think it's quite remarkable and notable that as he began to seek the Lord, he said in verse 5, "We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from the precepts and from thy judgments." And so here Daniel, in looking and surveying what has happened, don't forget he's in captivity now. He has obeyed the Lord in going into captivity as a young man, and he's taking his stand trying to live for the Lord in that very, very difficult circumstance. And yet he doesn't say, "Lord, the rest of those people over there are really wicked sinners, and if only they would get their life in order, then all things would be improved." That's not the heart of a true child of God. You know, we bring ourselves into the sins of the nation. We bring ourselves and include ourselves into the great lacking because we see our own souls. We know ourselves. And it would be very foolish for us to point outside and say that someone else is guilty of that, when I know in my own heart I have a whole heap of dealing with the weeds in my backyard. And I need to deal with them before the Lord. And so as Daniel says, "Lord, I have sinned. We have sinned against thee." And he sought God earnestly, and he brought those burdens before him in prayer. And as he studied the word, we find that it says in Jeremiah 29 and verse 12, if you turn back there, it says, "Then shall ye call upon me." Then shall ye call upon me. When ye have sought the Lord and you know Him and His thoughts toward you by a right theology, and then when you come to study His word by a right studying and reading and communion of the scripture, then ye shall call upon me. These are God's words to us this morning. This is the very voice of the Lord speaking. And I wonder, dear friend, maybe we have to say to the Lord today, "Oh God, forgive me for my prayerlessness. Forgive me for my refusal to take the word as I should esteem it highly in my own life. Has the word been precious to you?" Because the more you find that the word is precious to you, the more you're going to know and see the preciousness of Christ in the Word. And that's what the Lord wants us to do and to be in our lives. Would you please notice, thirdly, that willing obedience promotes earnest prayer. Willing obedience promotes earnest prayer. Then shall ye call upon me. And God says, and ye shall go and pray. And ye shall go and pray. You know, it's one thing to know things theoretically. It's another thing to do it practically. To actually obey the Lord. Because God is saying, you will call upon me. Yes, I will call upon you, Lord, someday. I'll call upon you tomorrow. I'll call upon you next week. I'll call upon you when the convenient season is, when I get all my work done and everything else is settled, then I will go and be faithful unto the Lord. My dear friends, those times will escape you. You will never find them. But here in the willing obedience of the man of God, when the Lord is saying, you will go and pray, you will actually put action to your words. You will seek the Lord. You will go to the prayer meeting. You will go and be where God's people are, calling upon Him. But before you ever get to the public prayer meeting, my dear friends, this is the private place of prayer. This is the place of seeking God with all your heart. You will go and pray unto me in private, in silence, seeking the Lord for your own needs, seeking the Lord for your own heart, seeking the Lord that Christ will be formed in you, developing in you, as we see the beauty and the holiness and the majesty of the Savior, we become more like Him. The Apostle Paul says in Corinthians, we'll be changed into His image from glory to glory. How much are we being transformed into the image of the Lord? You see, understanding a right theology and a right study of the Word, then there will be a willing submission, and those factors come as steps up the staircase, because as we submit ourselves willingly to the Lord, we will go and pray. We'll put it into action. We'll stop stalling. We'll stop making excuses why I can't do this. And we will settle ourselves into the disciplined life of a child of God in seeking Him. And when should that be? Every believer will need to determine that for themselves, whether we set a time early in the morning or it's in the middle of the day for a busy housewife. Maybe it's a time when you finally are able to get the kids down to sleep or those things are taken care of and you set your time whenever you can. And I know for people's busy work schedules, it's not always easy. But it's a good thing and a good practice and a good habit to set a time where you can meet with God each day. Then you will go and pray. And as you go and pray, and it may then be that, well, in the course of your busy schedule, you're not just going to be isolating it to one particular time or one particular place, but it is a life of prayer. Didn't Jesus say men ought always to pray and not to faint? And as we are driving in our cars, as you're riding on the public transit, wherever you are, wherever you're being, that is where we are communing with God. We're speaking to Him. We are talking with Him. And in that sense, we are willingly submitting ourselves to Him. And maybe it comes a time where the radio has to be turned off. It comes a time where we have to silence the phone and the personal device and turn off the text messages and turn off those distractions and just get alone with the Lord. Then you shall go and pray. You see, because this willing obedience is one that honors the Lord. The Lord also tells us that if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. That is a very clear precept from Psalm 66 and verse 18 that David proved in his life, and you and I have proved it as well. If we regard iniquity in our heart, if we're keeping things in our soul, maybe there's some issue we have against a brother or a sister, maybe there's some other problem, some sin that we're regarding, and if we keep those things in us, the Lord will not hear our prayers. And really what He's doing, and by that word, the Holy Spirit is leading us to confess those sins and come back into fellowship with Him again. The Lord doesn't want us to stay in the outside. Remember the thoughts that He has toward us. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us an expected end. And so there is a willingness of heart And that willing submission to him is going to be seen in the very action that we do by going and praying unto him. My dear friends, I bring you to the fourth point and the closing one today, and that is this. There is God's promise that he will respond to his people. God promises. He doesn't mock us. He doesn't invite us to do something that he will not come and give us the fulfilling of his own word. And the Lord promises, as we have in verse 12, "And I will hearken unto you." And I will hearken. I will listen to you. I will hear you. And if the God of heaven is saying to us this morning, when we come to him, it will not be in vain. We will not seek the Lord without knowing that he hears our prayers. And we are told that if he hears us, then he will grant us the desire of our hearts. And my friends, the desire of every faithful child of God is this, that the will of the Lord will be done in us and through us, and that we will be vessels sanctified and meet for the Master's use, that he will be able to take use of us, take hold of our hearts, take hold of our minds. I often think about that prayer when we are struggling and wrestling with wandering thoughts, and our thoughts are so easily contaminated by involvement in the world and the philosophies of the world, and they pound upon us continually. But my dear friends, as we commit our way unto the Lord, we are giving our thoughts unto him. He has promised to protect us and watch over us. Yes, God will listen. He will hearken unto you. And he has promised to fulfill his will in our lives. A lot of times Christians have quite a battle and a wrestling with the thoughts of the mind. And when I say a lot of Christians, it has to be every single Christian, every one of us. Because the devil comes into us through the thought gate, and he will plant thoughts in our mind. And you know, the thought that is planted by the devil in our mind, that is not the sin. It is what you and I do with that thought that becomes the sin. And we take the thought that is planted there and we take it and make it our own thought. It then becomes our sin as we dwell upon it, turn it over. And so the Lord would say to us, the closer that you are to me in communion, the more that you give your thoughts to me, I will enable you and equip you. Because the promise is that we have the mind of Christ. And that because we have the mind of the Lord, his thoughts become our thoughts and his ways become our ways. Because naturally, that's not the case. And the Lord tells us that as we get before him and seek him, he will hearken unto us. He will put a hedge around us. For the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. And the Lord needs to encamp round about our minds, our wills, our hearts, our lives. And as he does that and enables us to seek him with all our souls, he has promised, I will hearken unto you. I will listen, my dear brothers and sisters, in prayer. And then it comes the question, well, we have prayed for a long time and we've prayed for a certain thing for a long time and it hasn't come. Does that mean that God is not going to answer my prayer? Does that mean his ear is silent to me? My dear friend, what it means is that the Lord often delays the answer of that prayer. He delays the fulfilling of that desire to increase anticipation, to increase dependency upon him. Because we know well that when things go smoothly in our lives, what is the first thing that happens? We become self-confident. We become less earnest in our praying. When things are going along well, we don't really need the Lord as much, we think anyway. But it's when the trial comes and when the difficulty we're pressing through, it is then we get to our knees, we cry out under him, and the more the Lord has delayed in some answers to prayer, he is doing that we might seek and know our dependency upon him. We need him. We need the Lord. And he wants us to be drawn near into his holy presence. And so, my friends, God's intention is that we seek him. And we know that seeking him properly will be by having a right theology, a right understanding of the scripture. And it's going to be by a right study of the word. It's going to be, my friends, by a willing obedience to him, to actually go and pray and seek him, and then to be assured and to know that God has said, I will listen, I will hearken unto you, I will answer your prayers. The following verse 13 is a great summary. It says, and ye shall seek me, the Lord is talking, and find me, and ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you. And that phrase, all your heart, well, that is exactly what the Lord wants from us. He wants all our hearts. And so we have come back from a gathering of ministers and elders in prayer. And many things were prayed for, and many of you were prayed for in the congregation here in Port Hope. And those burdens and hearts that are brought not only for this church, but for all of our congregations, and for the Lord to defeat the devil, to give us power, to give us souls for the preaching of the word, to see the churches built and growing and flourishing and prospering. All of those things are part of the witness that we have in our time as we are drawn near to the end of time. May God keep us faithful. May God enable us not to lose sight of our Savior. O pilgrim bound for the heavenly land, never lose sight of Jesus. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, as we are still in thy presence now, and I just pray that the Holy Spirit will do a deep work in every heart. Lord, you know our situations. You know everyone here that is truly a believer and those who are not. You know those who are walking well, those who are walking at a distance. And Lord, I just pray that the Spirit of God would do the perfect work of conforming us and molding us and making us who we are to be in this time. Bless our meditation on the Word today. Encourage every soul and bless us to go on with Thee. We ask in Jesus' worthy name. Amen.